Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois, and welcome to those of you watching this at home. I'm Pastor Nate Wallenberg. This is the fourth Sunday of Easter. We're still celebrating the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And on the fourth Sunday of Easter, we also traditionally call that Good Shepherd Sunday. So we kind of heard that theme in our opening hymn today, and we're going to hear that throughout the service as well. And we're also celebrating that one of God's little lambs, Cody Reed Umberfert, is up here this morning, and he's going to be baptized and welcomed into God's kingdom today. So we're really, really excited about that. And the order of service for our worship is going to look a little bit different in your bulletin today. We're going to be following the service as printed. Because we are having both baptism and communion this morning, there are some things that are going to be a little different about the liturgy, a couple things that were omitted. And so anyway, just if you'll follow along the way it's printed for you there, you should be just fine. For the baptism, though, you will need the hymnal if you want to follow along there. You can go to page 268 in your hymnal and put your bookmark there so that you're ready to go. The baptism will be taking place pretty early on in the service. But we'll begin with our invocation. I invite you to stand as we begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Congregation may be seated. And at this time, I'd like to invite Cody and his family and his godmothers to come and join us up here. In a little half circle here is good. Okay. Dearly beloved, Christ our Lord says in the last chapter of Matthew, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In the last chapter of Mark, our Lord promises, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. And the Apostle Peter has written, baptism now saves you. The Word of God also teaches that we are all conceived and born sinful, and are under the power of the devil until Christ claims us as his own. We would be lost forever unless delivered from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation, but the Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. How is this child named?
Cody Reed Umberfert.
Cody Reed Umberfert. Receive the sign of the Holy Cross, both upon your forehead and upon your heart, to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified. Let us pray. Almighty and eternal God, according to your strict judgment, You condemned the unbelieving world through the flood. Yet according to your great mercy, you preserved believing Noah and his family, 8 souls in all. You drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his host in the Red Sea, yet led your people Israel through the water on dry ground, foreshadowing this washing of your holy baptism. Through the baptism in the Jordan of your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, you sanctified and instituted all waters to be a blessed flood and a lavish washing away of sin. We pray that you would behold Cody according to your boundless mercy and bless him with true faith by the Holy Spirit, that through this saving flood, all sin in him, which has been inherited from Adam and which he himself has committed since, would be drowned and die. Grant that he be kept safe and secure in the holy ark of the Christian church, being separated from the multitude of unbelievers and serving your name at all times with a fervent spirit and a joyful hope, so that with all believers in your promise, he would be declared worthy of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From ancient times, the church has observed the custom of appointing sponsors for baptismal candidates and catechumens. In the Evangelical Lutheran Church, sponsors are to confess the faith expressed in the Apostles' Creed and taught in the Small Catechism. They are to pray for them, support them in their ongoing instruction, nurture in the Christian faith, and encourage them toward the faithful reception of the Lord's Supper. They are at all times to be examples to them of the holy life of faith in Christ and love for their neighbor. So Cody's parents have chosen Christy and Katie to serve as his godmothers. And so, having heard these important responsibilities, I now ask you, is it your intention to serve Cody and support him in the Christian faith? If so, say yes with the help of God. God enable you both to will and to do this faithful and loving work, and with his grace fulfill what we are unable to do. Amen. Hear the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. They brought young children to Jesus that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased and said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." And he took them up in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And let us join together in praying the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord preserve your coming in and your going out, from this time forth, and even forevermore. Amen. We're going to proceed on up here to the baptismal font. I have a few questions for Cody, but because he's unable to answer for himself, I'm going to ask all of you who are up here to respond to the following questions on his behalf. Cody, do you renounce the devil? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce him."
Yes, I renounce him.
Do you renounce all his works? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you renounce all his ways? If so, say, "Yes, I renounce them."
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, "Yes, I believe."
Yes, I believe.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting? If so, say, yes, I believe.
Yes, I believe.
And Cody, do you desire to be baptized? If so, say, yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Cody Reed Unverfurt, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and of the Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, strengthen you with his grace unto life everlasting. Amen. All right, watch out behind you. Let's see, who should hold this? You want to hold that? Thank you. Receive this burning light to show that you have received Christ, who is the light of the world. Live always in the light of Christ, and be ever watchful for his coming, that you may meet him with joy, and enter with him into the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which shall have no end. I encourage you guys to keep that candle in a safe place, and light it every year on April 30th to remind Cody of his baptismal day. One of the most ancient understandings of baptism in the history of the church is that when a child is baptized into the faith, God gives us a new name. He takes his triune name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and places it right upon us in baptism. It's also tradition to recognize the significance of a person's given name on the day that they're baptized. So I looked up the name Cody, and it apparently comes from Irish origins, and it sounds like it probably came from an old Irish last name that had all these letters in it that I couldn't possibly pronounce. But apparently, when translated into English, modern English, it comes from the word helpful. And I really liked that. I mean, obviously, our prayer for Cody is that he's going to grow up to be the most helpful person in the whole world. I'm sure Mom and Dad would love that, right? But I also love the idea on a baptism day that it's God who has become Cody's help, right? In baptism, the Holy Spirit comes upon us, and Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to be our helper. And so it's with that helper by his side that he's going to live and grow, and we're just so excited to see what God has in store for him as his helper. And I'm going to invite our elder and also grandfather, Kevin, to speak a welcome on behalf of the congregation.
In holy baptism, God the Father has made you, Cody Reed, a member of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir with us of all the treasures of heaven in the one holy Christian and apostolic church. We receive you in Jesus' name as our Son in Christ, that together we might hear his word, receive his gifts, and proclaim the praises of him who called us out of the darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen. We welcome you in the name of the Lord. Let's welcome Cody with a round of applause. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful God and Father, we thank and praise you that you graciously preserve and enlarge your family and have granted Cody the new birth and holy baptism and made him a member of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We humbly implore you that as he has now become your child, you would keep him in his baptismal grace, that according to your good pleasure, he may faithfully grow to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name. And finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, amen. And peace be with you. Amen. You may return to your seats. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, our baptismal hymn will be number 740, I Am Jesus' Little Lamb. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together the collect of the day as printed in your bulletin. We pray, Almighty God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The first reading appointed for the fourth Sunday of Easter comes to us from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading is from St. Peter's first letter, chapter 2, beginning with verse 19. This is a gracious thing when, mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if, when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if, when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated. Our sermon hymn today is number 645, Built on the Rock. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the epistle, as once again we continue to make our way through this first epistle of Peter, and today we're here in chapter 2. In this particular section, he is talking about the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's comparing those sufferings to the suffering of his hearers, the people that Peter is writing to who also were suffering. We need a good shepherd. We need a good shepherd to lead us and guide us, to take us through this valley of the shadow of death. And thankfully, our good shepherd not only just leads us aimlessly, but he leads us into his sheep pen, his sheepfold, where we are blessed to have a building of our faith to protect us with a foundation and walls and a roof. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in a world like ours where so many things have become just virtual, right? We live our whole lives practically online, right? Everything is just kind of like up in the cloud or in the metaverse somewhere. I think it's really important for us to remember that there really is a world, a real world in front of us, right in front of our eyes, with real people in it, and that things that are physical and tangible still matter. Right? Physical buildings still matter. Physical structures, brick and mortar, places and spaces for us to actually gather in together and live in and work in. Buildings are blessings from the Lord. There's so many things that we, even in this digital world, we continue to use buildings for, right? For all of us who live here in Southern Illinois, we are really thankful for buildings, especially this time of the year when we have all these strong storms that pop up here and there, and we need a place to have some shelter, right? We're thankful for those buildings. Hospital buildings are there for people who are in need or are sick or injured so we can care for them, right? Office buildings are places where people can get their work done, right? Even those who are working remotely can appreciate sometimes being in an actual office building, right? From time to time, gathering with others, providing for themselves, providing services to the community. There's so many of you have countless buildings at your home, on your property, at your farm, things that you couldn't possibly imagine living without because they're so useful to you. We have a school building right over here. And that school building provides a wonderful place for students to gather and learn. And especially here at Trinity, they get to grow in their faith every single day. And we learned during the COVID-19 time that it's way more effective to do all of that kind of learning in person. Remotely isn't nearly as easy to do all of that important work. We have this beautiful church building where God calls us together and he gives us his gifts. He gathers us as brothers and sisters in Christ to receive his word and his sacraments. We have so many buildings that we're thankful for, and they perform all these different functions in our lives. But one of the things that almost all buildings need, maybe not literally all buildings, but almost all buildings need are three things, and I mentioned them just a little bit ago. You need a foundation, and you need some sort of walls or that kind of structure, and you need some sort of a roof or a covering. Right? You need those three things: foundation, walls, and a roof. And I'll get back to that in a minute here. It's the fourth Sunday of Easter. Like I said, it's Good Shepherd Sunday. And we call it that because the gospel reading on this fourth Sunday of Easter always comes back to one of these passages like what we have here in John chapter 10, where Jesus refers to himself as the Good Shepherd. So on Good Shepherd Sunday, we have a chance to kind of contemplate what that really means for our lives. I would suggest that one of the things it means to be sheep following a good shepherd is that he provides for us in a spiritual sense what buildings provide for us in a physical sense. That our good shepherd is the one who lays for us a foundation and who provides walls and structure for protection and who also gives us a roof over our heads. And to see where I'm going with all this, we're going to need to dig into this epistle reading today here in 1 Peter chapter 2. So right away, we'll start with the foundation. We look at verse 19. Peter says, "For this is a gracious thing, when mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly." But then a little bit later, he says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps." So Christ's example to us is the way that he suffered. And his suffering for us is what has now laid the foundation of our faith. Foundations are important because they ensure that the weight of a building is distributed evenly, and so inevitably when the building will shift for any number of reasons, it won't just all crumble and topple to the ground, right? Foundations level the ground for the building so that even when the earth moves, you don't have the whole thing just fall apart, walls and floors separating from one another and all of that. For us in our spiritual lives, it's the Good Shepherd's example of his humility, his endurance, even in the face of all kinds of evil. That's what essentially creates the foundation for us to live upon. Because what this does is it gives us a way to face all of the things that move and shift around us in our lives. Now, Jesus was able to do this. He was able to live the life that you and I couldn't live. He was able to live without having to fix himself upon some sort of external foundation. He was able to live perfectly from birth until death. And so even though he was mocked and beaten and even killed, that still didn't cause him to topple over in a spiritual sense. The Good Shepherd actively lays down his life for the sheep. Now, you could look at that and say, well, then how in the world could that serve as an example for me? I can't do what Jesus did. I can't save the world, take away others' sins. How can this be an example for us? Well, maybe we don't live with the threat of crucifixion hanging over our heads, but we do often have times when we are treated unfairly in this world, just as Jesus was. And rather than just in those moments seeing the building of our faith just completely topple over, fall apart every single time we are wronged by another person, it's the foundation of Christ's suffering that helps to keep us intact. And it's holy baptism that attaches us to that foundation. St. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6 that we're baptized into Christ's death. We are crucified with Christ. We are attached to that suffering. What a blessing it was just this morning to see Cody's foundation laid for him through this amazing gift of holy baptism. Through that gift, we are connected to that strong, rock-solid foundation that will help us to never, ever topple over. So the foundation's been laid. What about the walls? Well, we got to go back into the text. So looking now ahead at verse 22, it says, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly." Okay, so when we talk about walls, there's essentially two different ways that walls are utilized in our lives, right? First, you have the walls that we can entrust ourselves to that sit on the exterior of a building, right? That protect us from all the things that are out there, the things that threaten our lives, threaten our well-being. And since it's Good Shepherd Sunday, I'll use the example of the sheep pen, the sheepfold that we heard about in the gospel reading today, right? In Jesus's day, when Jesus is describing himself as the Good Shepherd, in those days, it was pretty typical to have a sheep pen that was basically made out of four walls of stone, big old walls of stone. And there was, of course, the one spot where you had the door so that the sheep could come in and out. And so that was the one place where you didn't have your walls there. But the shepherd himself would actually stay there in that spot. So he would guard the sheep with his body. He would essentially become part of the wall for them. So when Jesus is saying here in John 10, I am the door, he really means that. He is the door protecting the sheep from robbers and wolves and whatever else is out there. So we see that, and we understand that we can entrust our lives to the Good Shepherd who protects us like a wall protects us. But there's another kind of wall, right? So we understand the exterior walls and what they do, but we also have these interior walls, and what are they intended to do? Mainly to divide, right? Interior walls provide a way to take the floor plan and divide it into different rooms so that you've got certain spaces that are for a bathroom and for a kitchen and for a bedroom or whatever the case might be. So the walls that we have inside are the ones that separate one space from another, one person from another. In a spiritual sense, we have all these walls that we put up. We don't always follow the example of our good shepherd that we had here in 1 Peter chapter 2, right? So like when we are reviled, often we do revile in return. And when we are suffering, often we do respond by threatening, right? We put these walls up between each other all the time because we think that this is going to be the most helpful way to deal with all the hurt that we feel and all the sin that we deal with, right? We think that we're going to somehow use a wall, a spiritual wall, to protect ourselves from getting hurt, getting disappointed, being heartbroken, whatever the case might be. And what we end up finding out is that that doesn't really work out in the end because all of those walls that we end up putting up cause us to feel kind of lonely and isolated. So oftentimes, because of those kinds of walls, our relationships need healing. Our relationship with God needs healing, but our relationships with each other need healing. And Peter says right here in verse 24, how do we get that healing? By his wounds, you have been healed. So it's the Good Shepherd who provides those protective outside walls, but then breaks down those interior walls of hostility. The sheep are still safe and secure, but now we have an open floor plan. Now we are able to gather together as brothers and sisters. Now we can grow closer to one another only because of what our Good Shepherd provides. So we got the foundation. We got a better understanding of the walls. What about the roof? The last verse of the passage today says, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." No matter how strong your foundation is, and no matter if you have all the right walls in the right places for the right reasons, you still need a roof because the seasons continue to go on and on and on and change, and the rain keeps falling from the sky. For us, the roof of our lives of faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to faith initially, but he doesn't just leave us alone there. He continues to be with us throughout all of the seasons of our lives as our lives change. He is the one who helps us to continue to live holy lives. And even when we stray like sheep, it's the Holy Spirit who is constantly bringing us back in, constantly bringing us back home, showing us where home is. If you think about a church building, right? So yeah, we've got a roof, but you know what else we've got is we've got a steeple. And here at Trinity, we got a really, really tall steeple. And it's great. And you can see it from a long way away, right? You can be miles away from the church, and you can still see where your home is. And I think that's a wonderful example of what the Holy Spirit does. We are so often straying away, we can be miles away sometimes because of our sin, and the Holy Spirit is showing us the way to get back home. We look up, we see the steeple, we see how it points us back to heaven, back to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the roof that the Holy Spirit places over us is not like a roof that we might be used to, that is constantly deteriorating and springing leaks or getting dilapidated to the point where you got to replace it. The Holy Spirit's roof is impenetrable. It's indestructible. Come rain or hail or even Satan himself, nothing can destroy it. So again, buildings are truly blessings from God. Because of our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, we have that rock-solid foundation in baptism. We have the protection and the structure of the walls. We have the roof of the Holy Spirit pointing us the way to eternal life. And it's not virtual. It's not virtual reality. It's real. It's physical. It's tangible. It's real water in that baptismal font. It's real bread and wine. It's the real body and blood of Christ given and shed for you. It's like what we just sang in that hymn. Here stands the font before our eyes, telling how God has received us. The altar recalls Christ's sacrifice and what his supper here gives us. Here sound the scriptures that proclaim Christ yesterday, today, the same, and evermore, our Redeemer. Built on the rock, the church shall stand. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue now with the prayer of the church. I have a few updates for you in today's prayer list. First, we have listed under ongoing health, we have Nelda Agin. That would be the sister of Bob Agin, and Nelda has been recently diagnosed with lung cancer. Under hospitalized, we continue to pray for Parker Olivia Thorson, the infant daughter of Daniel and Paige Thorson. That's the great-granddaughter of Laverne Thorson. Parker is doing a whole lot better. She was born prematurely, and she's in the NICU over at Mercy Hospital in St. Louis. Thanks be to God, she is doing a whole lot better, but she'll be in the hospital a while longer, so she continues to need our prayers. We're also adding today Marla Hill, who is a friend of both the Hannenberger and Taylor families, and Marla is in need of a double lung transplant, so we're going to continue to pray for her as she waits on that list. We have an upcoming surgery this coming Tuesday for Cassie Schnicker. She's going to be having carpal tunnel surgery done. That's this coming Tuesday. Please stand as we go to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Loving Father, your Son is the great shepherd of the sheep who faithfully gathers his flock to himself in the pastures of the church. Grant us steadfast faith to hear his voice and follow him, even through the valley of the shadow of death, that we may receive our portion in his abundant life. Lord, in your mercy. Holy Father, by the work of your Spirit, through the means of grace, you daily add to the number of believers. Grant your people courageous hearts and bold tongues to proclaim your truth, trusting that you will gather more in keeping with your gracious will. Bless the efforts of our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, St. John's Lutheran in New Minden, and their pastor, Tim Miller. We also give you thanks, Lord, for sending workers into your harvest. Bless those at our two seminaries who have received your pastoral call this week, as well as those who have received vicarage assignments. Be especially with Ethan Beester and his wife Krista as they now prepare to serve at our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Iowa City, Iowa. Bless this time of transition for them. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you hold in your hands all the might of man, and you hold accountable those who would govern your people. Grant to us good government and leaders who will honor your purpose, protect your people, serve the cause of justice, and defend our liberty. Bless those who serve in the armed forces of our nation, including especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, Alex, Mark, and Jalen. Lord, in your mercy. Shepherd of Israel, you have clothed us with Christ's righteousness and taught us to love all that is good, beautiful, and true. Thank you for your many gifts of earthly life, including all those who are celebrating birthdays this week. Sam, Mabry, Rodney, Levi, Laverne, Jennifer, Brody, Riley, Marge, and Kellen. We also thank and praise you once again for the baptism of Cody Reed Unverfurt and ask you to bless him mightily in the years to come. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Shepherd, your wounds are our healing and your voice is our certainty. Hear us on behalf of those who suffer in body or mind, who grieve, or to whom death draws near. We pray especially for those who are on our prayer list, including those in care facilities, Thretta, Norman, Verdell, Bill, Jim, Bessie, and Brian. For those who are currently hospitalized, especially Parker and Marla. Those who have upcoming surgeries, that you'd be with Cassie and Mary. And all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Nelda, Ray, Joan, Bobby, Marvin, Amy, Patrick, Loreen, Beulah, Carolyn, Wayne, Bailey, Linda, Sam, Laverne, Samantha, and all those who are facing cancer. Grant them healing according to your will, grace to sustain them in trouble, and the sure hope of everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, in the wake of your Son's resurrection, your people devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. Unite your people in the one true faith and grant penitent hearts to all who come to receive the sacrament this day. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Congregation may be seated. At this time, I will invite the ushers to come forward as we worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Please stand. We continue now with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed. By his death he has redeemed us from bondage to sin and death, and by his resurrection he has delivered us into new life in him. Grant us to keep the feast in sincerity and truth, faithfully eating his body given into death and drinking his life's blood poured out for our salvation until we pass through death to the promised land of life eternal. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
Please stand. And we sing together the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come. In the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood, keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may together with all your saints celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. And our closing hymn is number 711, Savior, Like a Shepherd Lead Us. Good morning. Thank you to the Chimes for playing this morning. We really appreciate having you all here. Just a few announcements to bring to your attention. Today we got, this is the last day of the month, and so the Board of Finance is going to be counting today immediately after I finish talking over in the school conference room. Tonight is Youth Night. We've got YPS and Club 58 who are invited to come back 6 o'clock for Youth Night. Also, the men's choir is going to be rehearsing this evening as well. There is no chime practice tomorrow, so you all have tomorrow off. Congratulations. You'll have your next rehearsal on May 8th. We do tomorrow evening have a vacation Bible school planning meeting, and that will be at 7:30. I know it says 7 o'clock in the bulletin. We're going to push that a little bit later. It'll be 7:30. If you're interested in coming to help us with vacation Bible school, come to our meeting. You're invited to come. And appreciate all of the help that you have. If you want to sign up for VBS, it's all registration is live. You can go to our Facebook page. It's pinned toward the top of our Facebook page and find the website there. You can sign up to be a participant or a volunteer. Vacation Bible School is going to be the last full week of June, the 26th through the 30th. So it'll be here before you know it. Tuesday night is Ladies' Night, and this month we have a special event. It's called the Ladies and Guest Banquet. It's formerly known as the Mother and Daughter Banquet. This is going to be a wonderful evening, and so we hope you can make plans to be there. It starts at 6 o'clock with a meal. There's going to be some music and other entertainment, but we would like if you could please let Elaine Meyer or Marge Kasten know if you are planning to attend. That is Tuesday at 6 o'clock. Mixed Choir is not rehearsing this week, but they will be rehearsing on May 10th on the stage at 6:30. We have a fine arts evening in our school. You're all invited to come and join us at 6 o'clock this coming Thursday in the Activity Center. There's going to be singing happening for all of our students from pre-K through 8th grade, so we hope you can plan on being there. Also, there is an announcement about the Christ Our Rock Flower Fundraiser. This coming Tuesday is the day to pick up the orders if you've already ordered flowers. But there was a little bit of a glitch with the ordering process this year, and Christ Our Rock ended up with a whole bunch of surplus flowers that they are hoping to sell. So if you haven't ordered yet, there are flowers for you, and we would encourage you to help support our local Lutheran High School and get some flowers this spring. Finally, there is a little flyer for you to remind you that next Sunday, May 7th, is going to be the Broadway Review over at Christ Our Rock Lutheran High School at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. There's going to be the Christ Our Rock Choir plus 30-plus Broadway kids from the 5 area Lutheran grade schools, several of them from here at Trinity and Hoyleton. So we hope you can go. The admission is free next Sunday at 2 o'clock. Anything else that I forgot? Okay, if not, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us today.
Go in peace and serve the Lord.